Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Friday afternoon where we are. Maybe it's a Friday evening or even a Saturday morning where you are, wherever you are. We're glad you're here with us, and we did a good one for you this time. We got a great show. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here. What are we doing with Jimmy? Open forum? Second hour? Yes, yeah, so open forum, so you can call and ask whatever you want. In the first hour, this hour, one of the great things that happens around here is when Rose Sweet comes in and she's here. We're talking with Rose Sweet. You can find her at rosesweet.com. She's the author of many wonderful books and a fantastic speaker. And she'll even tell you a story of Rindercella if you want her to. And also you can find out she does a lot of what's called life coaching and helping people with issues around marriage and divorce, and very diverse and talented person. When I start talking about you, I'm very impressed. Hi, Rose.
Well, thank you. You forgot that I could like clean up this place like a housekeeper.
Is it a mess in here?
No, this studio,
We don't have any women around anymore. Because
you don't have any women here.
No, Marie left us, and Edgar came.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Yeah, like, do you think Edgar's going to... Because yesterday, Simone Riscala was in here, and she goes, Merry Christmas. And I was like, what? And then I looked over, and I see there's a pile of Christmas stockings and jackets and a Christmas tree. And it's almost March.
It's
it's
totally,
a mess in here. It's
totally
a total disaster.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Right. Well, thanks for sharing that online and around the world.
You know, you guys are real, and this is real life, real Catholicism.
We're a mess, though. We're a real mess. Like, now that you've said it, it's, you know what, though? We got the Home Depot bucket out of here. We don't have the bucket of spackle over there. That was months that we had the bucket of spackle, and that's gone. So.
Well, this kind of segues into our topic for today. You know, when things are a mess. And
good
it's,
for you, Rose.
It's kind of...
You'll handle the segues today.
I know,
okay,
I know.
Good. Go ahead.
Our title today is Marriage Without Works is Dead.
That sounds like something from the Bible.
It does.
I think it comes from the book of James.
We know from the book of James that James says that faith without works is dead, that you can't just say with your mouth, yes, I married this person and now we're all done and I can go fishing.
Right.
You got to start the hard work of the marriage, of the relationship.
And one of the things you pointed out to me when we talked about having this as the topic is that the Catechism of the Catholic Church is loaded with wisdom on marriage. And I hadn't really kind of put that together. I mean, I knew it was there, but I hadn't thought, well, there's a resource you can go to on
marriage. Yeah, and you know what I'd love to do in this first few minutes, if you don't mind, is just read a few little snippets of the Catechism of the Catholic Church on marriage. It's really,
Rose,
really beautiful.
I've known you long enough to know you're going to do it whether I mind or not.
I know, but I'm trying to be polite.
It was very nice of you to say that, but you know you're going to do it, so...
Well,
and I don't mind. I'm
very
happy.
Don't undermine my humility, okay? Do you hear me?
I apologize, yes.
And I wouldn't slap you today because you told me you're coming down with a cold, so I can't touch you today.
I know. I didn't even want to be in the studio with you because I was afraid I'd give you a cold. But you're like brave. You're like, I don't care. We're doing this for the Lord. Let's go.
Okay,
sit down.
You know what?
Boom.
This is what marriage takes, you know? Instead of running away, oh, I have a sore throat, and then, you know, withdrawing, you stand in there with your spouse through thick and thin. So there you go.
Missy wouldn't be in here with me if she knew I had a cold.
Well, that's a different thing. She really is married to you. So.
Yeah. All right, so give us some catechism on marriage. Thank you, Rose.
Okay, for those of you who are studying the catechism, go to section 16, the 1600s, paragraph 1600. 1601 says, and I love this, the matrimonial covenant by which a man and woman establish between themselves a partnership of the whole of life is by its nature ordered toward the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of children. But sometimes
there's so much in that one sentence.
It is.
I mean, even that definition, a partnership of the whole of life, is beautiful.
Well, and I've run into a lot of people in my marriage and divorce and recovery ministries that they said, look, a marriage is okay if you promise not to cheat on the person and you're open to children and you're not going to get a divorce. And they really don't think that you have to be that loving, that attentive, that present, that affirming or supportive of your spouse. If your spouse isn't happy, it's their problem.
Uh-huh.
That they've fulfilled.
That doesn't sound like a partnership of the whole of life.
That's right. Or ordered toward the good of the spouses.
Mm-hmm.
What's good for my husband? What's good for my wife?
Yeah.
We don't. When do we really stop and think about that?
Not for me, in my case, not the first 25 years of marriage, but since then I've been doing better.
Well, right.
I mean, it kind of finally dawned on me that I was supposed to be doing
okay.
that.
Okay, and that's the whole...
25 is too many. 20. Let's say 20.
Poor Missy.
You know, that you could have said poor Missy a lot of years of our marriage. That's true. I've
but
told you that before.
I know you have, and I love that you're vulnerable and open about that, and that's the hope that we have, that it's not if you're in a difficult marriage, it is not necessarily the end. It's not the end.
It's
we
not,
have so
Rose.
Much hope.
Yes.
Listen to this, 1608. Without God's help, man and woman cannot achieve this union for which God created them.
Right.
Okay, here's another one I love, 1603. The well-being of the individual person and of both human and Christian society is closely bound up with the healthy state of conjugal and family life.
Yep.
So again, to consider that in this marriage, I need to have well-being. I need the other person to will my good. That's not an unreasonable demand. And we'll get to that in a minute. But here we go. Here's the downside. 1606, this is the catechism.
Yeah, this is the Catechism of Catholic Church
talking
about marriage.
Their union has always been threatened by discord, a spirit of domination, infidelity, jealousy, and conflicts that can escalate into hatred and separation, and I'm going to add, divorce. But again, that does not need to be the end. God gives us everything that we need. When God says, love your enemies, sometimes he's talking about your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And right after that verse, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And God gives us the graces we need to go toward that perfection. So here's another one I love, these great words, 1611. The books of Ruth and Tobit bear moving witness to an elevated sense of marriage and to the, here's the phrase I love, fidelity and tenderness of spouses.
Isn't that funny that we, like you said, fidelity is kind of the minimum. It's not the, that's not the, you're not, you haven't done your full work of marriage. I mean, you've done a good thing, but you haven't done, it's kind of a necessary but not sufficient thing.
So, yes, if you were going to build your beautiful spouse a house, you would, you know, pour the concrete, lay the foundation, put in the plumbing and electric, and then say, okay, get your sleeping bag, we're done.
Yeah.
No, there's still work to do. So
right.
Yeah, the fidelity is part of the foundation, but there is that work and that building. And I just love the words like tenderness, good of the spouses. Okay, 1643. Conjugal love involves a totality in which all the elements of the person enter, appeal of the body and instinct, power of feeling, so that means emotions are important.
Yeah.
They're not everything, but they're important, and affectivity, aspiration of the spirit and of the will. It aims at a deeply personal unity.
Mm-hmm.
1648. Now we're really getting to the nitty-gritty. It can seem difficult, even impossible, to bind oneself for life to another human being.
Yeah. And I suppose that one, 1648, it puts me in mind of when the 1608 one you said, without God's help, man and woman cannot achieve it. That's why it seems impossible, because you can't do it without
That's
God.
Right. That's right. And our natural default from our sin nature is to try to do it ourselves, because we, at some level, we don't really trust God to know us and have our good in mind. At least his definition of our good is usually different than our definition.
Right.
So we don't trust. Only when our face hits the pavement and we're in enough pain, when we look up and we cry out and we say, Lord, I'm in a mess, help me. That's when powerful graces in your marriage can come.
Right. Amen, sister. If you want to talk with Rose, we got a little more catechism to cover. But if you want to talk with Rose about the work of marriage, because Rose's theme today is marriage without works is dead, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. And the Catholic Church has a great deal of wisdom that comes from the person of Jesus in regarding marriage. But you do not have to be Catholic if you want to call and taking advantage of that wisdom by talking with Rose. 888-318-7884. All right, go on, Rose.
Okay, continue. So let's talk. There's another part in this section, offenses against the dignity of marriage. Let me say that again. Offenses against the dignity of marriage. And that's in the 2300 section of the Catechism. It starts at 2380.
Okay.
This is pretty clear. adultery.
Mm, yeah.
That's a big bad thing against marriage. But we don't have to necessarily end up in the sack with somebody to commit adultery. It begins much, much earlier. And again, Jesus himself addressed this. It begins in the discontent, in the sense of entitlement. I'm not getting what I want in my marriage. I need this. I have to have it. God doesn't understand, really, or at least I hope he's not looking. And off we go into this little, and we begin to abandon our spouses much earlier than any physical act of adultery.
Yes, right. So there's a kind of, even Jesus, I guess, that we could interpret his words in the Sermon on the Mount to mean that the infidelity starts in the heart. It doesn't start physically.
Right, right. And it's a response to our sin nature that keeps pulling us the wrong way.
Right.
But we have grace. We have a powerful God who sees and knows and loves and understands us and says, look, if you want help, I can get you help.
And that is the truth, Rose. That is the truth, yeah. I mean, there's just millions of people married in the grace of Jesus who know he does, in fact, help. He doesn't leave us floundering.
So let's talk about this as far as the aspect of work. And I'm going to name somebody who told me before I left home today I shouldn't use his name, but I'm just referring to this general person that I happen to be married to.
I just happened to be. You said okay. Like it was an accident that the two of you got
it was.
Married.
I couldn't help myself.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, I understand that. Right.
In the beginning, when we had our first fight, he blurted out what I will never forget. Why does marriage have to be so hard? It shouldn't be this hard. It should be easy.
Oh, I've said that many times.
Yeah.
I've said that, yeah, foolishly said that.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Should be easy.
Who promised that?
Right.
Yeah.
So we have this romanticized version of what marriage should be that we, see from movies and wherever else we get it. And I think it's just part of the human desire not to have to work.
Yeah.
But
even if you don't say marriage should be easy, it's very common to say it shouldn't be this hard. Like when marriage when it's really working on you, and requiring something of you, it really does feel like it shouldn't be this hard. Something is wrong.
So in my own case, and I will talk about this, is you can look at the other person all day long, and you might be right. It is their fault.
Yeah.
But you have work to do in that you don't keep your focus over there and hang on to it so tightly that you slip into arrogance and pride and entitlement and bitterness and even revenge.
You mean I wasn't supposed to do those things? These are the don't-dos?
I said poor Missy at the beginning of this show.
No, I'm just clarifying which list we're on. We're on the don't-do list. Right
we're
now.
On the don't-do list.
Yeah.
And again, let's say my husband did something horrible and I was completely in the right and he was completely in the wrong.
Yeah.
I still have work to do. In marriage, I have the work of not responding to that in a sinful manner, a prideful manner, a focused on it and use it to control manner, which is what we do. And we sometimes think that when we're right and they're wrong, the work is all theirs. They got to change.
Yeah.
But this is the iron sharpening iron thing in marriage that I really realize. This is where my sanctity comes from when I have to bear something that's difficult or unjust or frustrating or deeply, deeply painful or even violating.
Yeah.
I have my work to do in that. I have to know how to respond in a way that is true to the dignity of my own person and is in line with the will of God. And that takes work.
You know what I'm hearing, Rose? It's not enough to be the better person in marriage. We have to be Christ to one another. And that means, because Christ had no fault. He's not at fault for any of the things that befell him at our hands.
Right.
So
right.
There's the model.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
And the Catholic Church in her teachings, and especially in the Catechism, we use Christ as a model. We look to Christ as a model. We look to Scripture. In the Catechism, and I don't know how many people are really do a deep dive into it, but there are the relevant Scripture references at the bottom of every page. We didn't just like pull this out of the air.
Yeah, right.
You know, we always go back to Christ.
I got to do a break, and I feel like we only got to one offense against marriage. We got to adultery.
We're going to get
you have more offenses.
Oh, we got lots more.
There are folks on the line ready to talk with Rose, but if you'd like to talk about marriage, maybe you have something. It doesn't have to be a question. Maybe it's something you'd like to contribute or in getting a conversation with Rose, or if you have a question or a challenge that you want to share with Rose and get some help, 888-318-7888.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest. One thing we haven't mentioned a whole lot, but Lent is starting next Wednesday. It starts on Ash Wednesday. So get your ashes on Wednesday. And we got a great little book for you for Lent, one full of beautiful meditations. It's called The Heart of the Gospel. It's about the Sermon on the Mount itself that we've already mentioned. It's about the Beatitudes and how those are the heart of the gospel. And it's on sale right now, 20% off. Your copy of The Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com. You can get bulk. Maybe it's something you want to share with your group, your study group, your class, your RCIA group, your Bible study, whatever. You can get them in bulk for $3 a copy. And everything that Father Sebastian writes is just beautiful. And this is a beautiful meditation on the heart of the gospel, the Beatitudes. Get 20% off by using the word blessed when you check out at shop.catholic.com, or get them in bulk for $3 a copy at shop.catholic.com. Rose Sweet, her theme today is marriage without works is dead. And you gave us this beautiful kind of litany of the beauties of marriage and the challenges of marriage that's in the 1600s section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And now you're in the 2300s sections, the 2300s section on the offenses against the dignity of the marriage. So I want you to finish that before we go to calls.
Okay, good. Thank you. We talked about adultery, and we talked about the work that's necessary when adultery starts in the mind and the heart before it gets down the road to do that work of correction. The next one is very sensitive. It's incest, but this is in the catechism. And I have learned from working with so many people that you don't have to, you can violate the marriage. You don't have to be sexually involved with other family members. You can be emotionally involved. And this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Here's a couple, and they're not getting along. They're having repeated struggles, and it's very difficult. And one of them for sure is getting just worn down to the nub. The easiest thing to do is to push the spouse away and turn their affection and their attention to the children.
Yeah.
And in a certain sense, they replace the spouse, that place in their heart where the spouse belongs, with the children.
Yep.
And that's a violation against marriage. And the reason we do this is because it's easier. And this is, I want to tie in the theme of work again. It takes work to go, oh, man, I'd rather be with the kids than that stupid idiot, right?
Yeah.
That's a red flag and a signal, oh, I got work to do.
Yeah.
I got work to do.
But the one I've heard you talk about before is mom. You know, staying connected to mom is a kind of not sexually incestuous, but
emotionally.
You have to turn away from the parent, your own parents, to the spouse.
Yes, like when we're talking about annulment, and we decide that at the time of the wedding, let's use a young man, for instance, that was really tied to his mother's apron strings still, deeply and emotionally, and his new bride never felt number one. She never was number one. That mom always, you know, she got to win out whenever there was an issue. And so he chose mom first.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This
the bond is that's a mitigating against the marriage bond, because the other bond is not healthy. The other bond has to be
And here's the thing: you can't form a marriage bond if there's something already in the way blocking it. And the church uses the word impediment, and so that over attachment, that inordinate attachment to mom, impedes that marriage bond from coming into being.
All right, you got a few more offenses against the dignity of marriage, and I do want to get these callers on with you.
Okay. Cohabitation.
Yeah, nobody believes it anymore. What's wrong with people? Why don't we?
Well, I'm not
saying nobody believes it, but I shouldn't have said it that way, but I mean that it was kind of hyperbolic the way I said it, but there's a lot of cohabitation.
There is, and you know what? We've learned to settle for it, but it's a violation against the dignity of everything that we deserve and we need in marriage. We were created for that total gift of self, and we're getting half or less.
Yeah,
or whatever, and we settle for it because we're afraid to do the hard work of breaking up, finding somebody else, or whatever it is, going to get therapy.
Well, I don't believe a piece of paper makes a difference, Rose.
I know
you do.
What
about people who say that? I don't believe a piece of paper makes a difference.
May be true for you.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with a piece of paper.
No,
it's got to do with what are you doing? Have you given your whole life to this person, or are you still reserving?
It's about, and this is a word we're using today, the dignity of the human person. And entering into a relationship where you are ordered to the good of that person, the total good. Okay, cohabitation. Here's another one right in the catechism. An offense against the dignity of marriage. Inability to make long-term commitments.
Yeah.
The forever bachelor or bachelorette.
Yeah, in marriage, some people never make the long-term commitment.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. And then trial marriages. So I say, here's two things to remember, and I try to live this myself the best I can. If you are triggered, if you're feeling irritated, anxious, resentful, bitter, exhausted, worn out, whatever, check in with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then go get help. And then when you go get help, make the changes that you're supposed to make. So check in, get help, make changes. That's the work of any good relationship.
Marriage without works is dead. That's Rose's theme for today. Your call is welcome. We've got several callers to get to, but there's a couple lines open. 888-318-7884. I think I'm going to start with Ann in Shiloh, Illinois, listening on the Covenant Catholic Radio Network. Ann, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, I'm 59, and I've never been married.
Okay.
Hi, Ann.
I met this guy. Hi, did you hear me? I'm 59.
Yes.
And I've never been married, and I met this guy Monday. His name's Dave, and he plays the guitar. And all of a sudden, I want to get married.
And what do you need? Do you need some advice today?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. First of all, thank God for the delightful, delicious stirring of your heart. It's beautiful and it's good. But you have to do some work first. I want you to go get a list, make a piece of paper, and make a detailed list. Give it thought and prayer, and make a list of everything that you want in a spouse. Everything. Physically, emotionally, financially, intellectually, everything that you can think of. Just have fun with this and write everything down. Then make another list of everything you will not tolerate, you can't stand. Then put those lists in order, which ones are most important to you. And then this is a beginning place for you to begin discernment with Dave as you move forward, and follow the teachings and the advice of the Catholic Church. She's here to love you and protect you. But make those lists, and then maybe at some point share them with Dave and ask him what he wants. That's a really good place to start.
What do you think, Ann?
I don't think he's Catholic.
Do you want a Catholic husband?
Well, no. He doesn't have to be Catholic, but he sings and he plays the guitar, and I love music.
That's great. Then you could go to a bar on Friday night and listen to a great guy who plays guitar. But marriage is hard work, and it requires a maturity level of somebody beyond guitar playing and handsome looks to know how to see you and to love you as you were made to be loved. Otherwise, you're doomed for disaster.
I can see right now that we've reached we have to go to this hard break, but thank you very, very much for the call. Why don't we, if Anne wants it, let's send her a 20 Answers Marriage. We have a little booklet, 20 Answers Marriage. I'd love to send it to Anne if she'd like it. But Anne, thank you for starting us off. Very much appreciate that call. And now the lines all lighten up. So we got lots of callers to come. Marriage without works is dead. That's the topic for this hour. Right back with more Rose Sweet.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
As a child, the great theologian Thomas Aquinas asked, "What is God?" Best-selling author Kevin Vost's new book follows the mature thought of Aquinas in answering that question. In clear and approachable fashion, What is God examines God's attributes and considers questions about him that have vexed mankind for centuries. Order your copy of What is God today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on Mortal Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
That's tomorrow on Mortal Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We can never get any peace and quiet in the studio when Rose is here because everybody's got to come in at the breaks and visit with Rose. You're very popular.
It's so fun. I love everybody here.
Donna came in and visited.
Because we're going to the Holy Land together.
Yeah, she's going on your, Donna, our director of marketing, she and her husband are going with you to the Holy Land on your pilgrimage.
In November.
I heard it's already sold out.
It's totally sold out, and we have a big old long waiting list.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll go again
congratulations.
Another time. Thank you.
No, I'll just do a, I'm now doing the Rose's Leftovers tour. If you can't get on Rose's tour, I'm going to think of somewhere
to
go.
I like that.
Yeah. You need to give us all the people on your waiting list.
The California Missions.
We thought of doing the California Missions, but you know what they had that ruined it for us?
What?
A pandemic.
Oh, yeah,
They went and had a pandemic.
Well, let's go. Let's revisit that.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about marriage with Rose Sweet. You can find out all about what Rose does at rosesweet.com. But Rose has written a series of beautiful books for women. Give us a couple of titles of the books.
A Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness.
Yep.
A Catholic Woman's Guide to Relationships. A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance.
And I think you did a very smart thing, or your publisher did. I don't know which one of you. You made them like pretty beautiful little snacks They're not just books. They're beautiful objects.
I did that.
Oh, that was your thing? Yeah. That was very smart.
Because we women like cute little things we can put in our purse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Men like cute little things, too, but not that we don't carry a purse.
Okay, let's get back to the callers.
888-318-7884. Mike in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on 1060 AM. Go ahead, Mike, with your question for Rose.
Hi there. I just want to thank you so much for this topic. And, you know, it's just really providential in my life. You know, I was married outside the church for 17 years. And very difficult when I had my reversion to the faith and been married to someone who wasn't in the faith, you know, and knowing the church's teaching. But I for the first time, I went to a Catholic marriage retreat, which I had never heard of one before. And it's Divine Intimacy and Marriage, run by Dan and Stephanie Burke.
Love them.
And it was
oh, you know them.
Glorious. Glorious beyond. I mean, the teaching that I never knew.
Yeah,
you know, it just touched my heart, touched my wife's heart, and that people don't. It's sad for me that I never knew it, and it's sad for me that other people don't understand that we put God first in our marriage. If we put God first in our marriage, everything else is on solid ground, and we have free to love unconditionally.
Beautifully said,
and
Mike.
That was kind of the gist of the retreat, but there was so much more.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Dan and Stephanie Burke do a beautiful job of incorporating the depth and riches of our Catholic teaching into everyday life. And you're right, Mike. If we as the individual human person have God at the center of our mind and heart, we're going to succeed in difficult relationships, be it a marriage or a parent-child relationship or a boss-employee, any relationship. Thank you for that.
Dan Burke, I know Dan Burke. I just put it together.
Yeah.
He's at the Avila Institute.
Yeah, Avila Institute, spiritualdirection.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful work.
And he wrote a book about St. Therese.
Yes, he's got
a lot of
books.
Mike, I'm so glad you called and shared that with us. Thank you very, very much. It is true that the teaching of, you know, we say the Catholic teaching, but I want to stress that the Catholic teaching is Christ's teaching on marriage.
Yes.
And he had a lot to say about marriage, and he lived it by example how, even though he was not married himself, he lived by example. How to be fruitful in all things, including marriage. So thank you, Mike. It is a beautiful teaching, and thank you for that. Those very good and kind and helpful comments.
Before we go to the next caller, how beautiful that Mike said for 17 years it was difficult.
Yeah.
And look, you never give up hope.
No.
And then one day God goes, okay, I'm sending you to a retreat. And all of a sudden things change,
yep.
And they get goosebumps, and they're off on a different path.
Right. And how many times have we heard of the husband, the wife, or the couple in total who are like, yeah, I wasn't really sure about this Catholic retreat. I didn't really want to do a marriage encounter or whatever the retreat was they did. And then the life, it's like the spirit comes into the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Richard in North Dakota, listening on Ave Maria Radio. You are next. Richard, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yeah, thank you very much for this. It's like, I know this is marriage week, and I don't know, I've been having plenty of difficulties with my marriage, so I appreciate what you're doing. And, well, thank you, but I know it's part of my calling. I heard it really kind of spoke to me, like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just give up? No.
No.
But I also need to figure out how to move forward, and I feel like I'm kind of stuck in a rut. I think over the course of years that my wife has probably just gotten tired of me and how I interact with her, and she has probably given the love that she and I are supposed to have to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know how to figure out how do I get a pathway back.
A pathway back.
Mm.
Well, very well asked. Yep.
Yeah, Rose. Richard, my heart goes out to both of you, all of you. This is very difficult, but it's more common than we realize. If you had a toothache, where would you go to get it fixed?
Well, to the dentist, probably.
And if your engine block was ready to explode, where would you go to get your car fixed?
Well, probably to a dealership or to a buddy that knows how to fix it.
Yeah, so you go to an expert who is familiar with the problem and can give you the plan for repair. And we're so reticent to go to therapists, counselors, or coaches because we have to bear our own ugly parts of ourselves. But that's what you have to do to move forward is go get some professional help, not necessarily to fix her, but to start first to work on yourself so that you are on firm foundation as you tackle this problem in your marriage. You need a plan. Scripture says without a plan, the people perish. So you can't just try it one day or one week. You have to have a nice, clear plan, and an expert can help you with that. First of all,
how do I find a good expert then?
Well, you're talking to one. I bring our beautiful Catholic anthropology and teachings into my coaching, but let me go past that. Your wife, at some point, decided that you weren't enough. Okay. Now, instead of focusing on that, you want to look inward and say, where am I in life? Who am I? What am I giving to my wife and not giving to my wife? What do I want? And you begin with taking an inventory of your own self and getting help with that. And then you learn how to approach her and say, honey, something to this effect. I realize I have failed you in many ways, and I feel like you've turned a lot of the attention to the kids, and I totally get that. But I want to work on us. Are you open to that? Now, she might say no, go away, I hate you. She might say yes, but then it doesn't. At this point, it doesn't matter how she responds. You want to know what your part is in it and how you can move forward to help her come back to the place where I know you both want to be. But you need an expert help. Does that make sense?
I agree. It does. So how can I get in contact with you? I think I heard your website or...
RoseSweet.com. Just send me an email and I will spend some time with you and give you a little more information and some of the options that you have. Some good Catholic psychotherapists if you need that. Just reach out.
Richard, thank you. Thank you very, very much. So RoseSweet.com. Rose@RoseSweet.com.
Yes, that's my email.
And one thing that I have... A lot of people have been saying, like Richard is in North Dakota, so you know that's a lot of rural space up there. I don't know if he's in a more urban or rural space, but a lot of people have been telling me, and I wonder how you feel about this, that this new Zoom culture that we have is actually really good for people looking for therapy. That it's actually a good environment for therapy. It's not for everybody, I'm sure, but. Has that been your experience?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I didn't like Zoom when it first came out. It's not as personal, you know, especially with COVID. And I like to be, if I would go out speaking somewhere, I'd like to see the people and touch the people. I couldn't do that. But Zoom was better than a phone call. And there is something about at least seeing the person's expressions and the Zoom interaction that you can form a feeling of safety and trust and love and help with that. And so 90% of my clients are over Zoom. And that frees me to be able to work all around the world.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And I think there's some part of us that might go, well, maybe too much is lost in that. But from what I'm hearing from friends who are psychologists or therapists and also people who are is actually you don't lose so much. It's quite helpful.
I agree. And here's the other benefit. You don't have to get dressed to go to the therapist's office. You can just be in the comfort of your home, you know? Yeah. And you don't have to travel. You don't.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of benefits to it, a lot of practical benefits.
Richard, thank you very much. I hope you will get in touch with Rose, because I can testify to you there is hope. There's hope in marriages that are struggling. I'm going to go to Jason in Pennsylvania now, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Jason, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Good evening. So I've been married, unfortunately, multiple times. I'm one of those guys that kind of falls in love really easily, and I just don't think about it. But I've had people come and tell me, you know, that I'm continually in a state of sin because of my previous marriages, and I'm not Catholic. I'm actually Anglo-Catholic or Anglican Catholic, and just something that's always been, you know, bothering me on my mind that, you know, you're living in adultery, that, you know, what do I do? I mean,
Jason,
what should I think?
Yeah, thank you for calling in. You know, the good thing is that you have a deep and beautiful natural desire for marriage. The bad thing is sometimes you probably checked your brain at the door, like I did. I also have been married multiple times, and it's still shameful in a certain sense for me to have to say that out loud. But I was running my own life without asking God's help or direction. And when you come to a place of enough pain and you say, okay, Lord, I'm done. I want to follow you now. He will listen to that, answer that prayer, and give you what you need and where you just trust him. So if are you worried about God's forgiving you?
I've talked to somebody and she said, you know, they use scripture where Jesus says that, you know, or the scripture that says that, you know, I know God forgives, but then people are saying, well, your other spouses are still alive. And so you're committing adultery because of your present marriage. And I'll never understand the beauty and extent of God's forgiveness and grace, but you know, I just feel like I get beat up over it sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that. That happens in every church because people are afraid that people who are in a sinful state and are not changing their ways are going to bring everybody down for some reason. If you're not Catholic, you are not bound by the rules that Catholics are to live by. And our rules are, and that we get from Christ, is that unless there was a legitimate reason for separation or divorce, the marriage bond to those prior people still exists and must be upheld and honored. You're not held to that, I don't believe, in your Anglo-Catholic denomination. You have to go check with one of your priests or pastors on what your denomination teaches, okay? And get expert help. Go talk. Don't just listen to all the other people in the pews, because you'll get real confused and real shamed and put down. Go to a loving, wise expert in your church. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, it kind of took me a lot. I realized that there's thousands and thousands of people listening and just putting it out there like that. But, you know, I'll be the first person to admit that, hey, I'm probably the chief of sinners.
Well, that is a step in the Christian life when we realize that about ourselves.
Right, But never lose. Here's what I love as being Catholic. We always hold like different truths all at the same time with tension. So you may be the biggest sinner in the world, but you are also a beloved son of the high God, and he holds you in as the apple of his eye, and you are a sinner. So that's the reality that that's the beginning of sanity when you can remember those two things.
Jason, I do have to go to the break. I don't know, as you said, you're an Anglo-Catholic. If you would like, we have a little book called Divorce and Remarriage. If you'd like that, it'll give the Catholic perspective. We're happy to share it with you, but it's entirely up to you. Just hang on the line if you would like 20 Answers, Divorce and Remarriage, that at least help you think through it the way that Catholics think through it, which is, I'm sure, not so dissimilar from the way many of our Christian brothers and sisters think about it. So you're welcome to that if you'd like it. I have to take this break. We'll be right back with more calls for Rose as we talk about what I think is a very clever title Rose came up with, Marriage Without Works is Dead. It gives us a great chance to talk about many, many issues in marriage. If you'd like to get on with Rose, we'll do our very best. 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. And you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because it is the food of the saints that we receive. And for the saints, they understood rightly that the time after Holy Communion, that those moments are the most precious moments of our lives.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Lots of folks on the line for Rose. I do want to say one thing because, Rose, you mentioned getting therapy to an earlier caller, Richard. And one mistake that I made, and I want just want to ask, you can very quickly dispose of this with whatever your answer is. I don't want you to spend a lot of time on it. But spiritualizing problems that were psychological, that needed, do you see what I'm saying? That
yes.
Try to pray through it, try to sacrament your way through it. All of which is good. I'm not rejecting any of that. But some of it, I instead of doing that and doing the other work that my marriage needed, I did it in place of that. And I really do regret having done that.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, because that's another faith without works thing. It's a way of hiding.
Right.
It's an escapism into your religion.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to do the practical work. It's a form of cowardice. And I've been there myself.
One of my many forms, Rose.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm a coward too. There's things that I run away from too.
Sure.
But
yeah.
But with God's grace, I go, wait a minute, go back, take care of business, do the hard work, because it's totally worth it.
Let's go to Bob in Houston, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Bob, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Well, first of all, I want to say what a terrific program this is.
Rose is here.
This is just wonderful. I mean, this is what the Catholic Church has needed to do for a long, long time.
I know.
And I'm just so happy to hear this. I mean,
thank you,
you
Bob.
Are right on target. And so let me just go ahead and tell you. I came from a really sick family. And so the first time I got married in my mid-20s, I wasn't able to make it work. We had two children, and we went about 7 years, and I just crashed. And then I did get a lot of therapy, which really helped. It really helped. And I continued to go to church too. I guess I went about 19 years, and I wasn't going to get married again until I knew that I could make it work. And then finally, I reached that point. And at that time, I met a woman that it was very clear that, you know, that we were right on track to get married. And so after a month, I told her, I said, if we don't get some therapy, I said, I'm not going to be able to make the decision, you know. And so she said, well, okay. So we started seeing a therapist, and I didn't care, because I told her, I said, I still have some rough edges to work out, and we also need to know where we can go if we have any trouble, you know, because I was determined I was not gonna get divorced again. It just was not gonna happen. And so so we did that, and sure enough, I was then able to commit, and we got married. And one of the things that I did was I got into a 12-step program, because I just knew I needed constant work, because, you know, our society tells us, like just what Walt Disney says, you know, he says, you know, you meet your prince or princess and you go off and you live happily ever after. Well, that's the biggest lie we've ever been told.
Bob, I'm going to let Rose respond real quick, because we're getting close to the end. But Rose, go ahead. We have
I'm
a response to
Bob, thank you for calling in and giving your witness. This is a beautiful, you have so many good points, and I'm delighted that you called. And you reminded me of the Arthur Murray Dance Studios. It's like if you and a partner were going to enter a dance contest, you would go to an expert to take some lessons and get help. Nobody would bat an eye with that. So for you to get pre-marriage counseling or therapy, I think was fabulous. You recognize that you wanted to do a good job. You wanted to have a beautiful dance with this beautiful partner, and you went and got dance lessons. So that's authentic love, and you were willing to do the work even before the marriage. That's awesome.
Bob, I am going to leave it there, because we've got more folks who want to talk with Rose, and time is fleeting this hour. Greg in Central Montana, listening on St. Joseph Radio. Greg, thank you very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I am 23 years old, and I've been dating my girlfriend for about 2 years now. We've been discussing marriage recently. And I know earlier in your discussion you were talking about how a lot of people are surprised by the amount of work that is required when it comes to marriage. So I was curious your thoughts on how I can start putting in work now so it's not just a surprise in the future, just down the line.
Well, she's a lucky young woman if you're already ready to do the work, Greg, so that's great. First of all, are you Catholic?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, she is as well.
Okay, good. So check your local parish or diocese for marriage preparation programs. There's beautiful online marriage preparation programs you can take. One of the fun things that a lot of them offer are inventories where you just answer a bunch of questions and you get to really talk about things that you normally wouldn't and discover things about each other. One of them is the Focus program. Remember, I think that's like 175 questions. And they will that will reveal some of the issues that would otherwise come up later in the marriage. You can start tackling them right now. It is hard work, but it's also fun. And it's a way to really get to know each other. And it's a really good part of your discernment process before you actually get to the altar. Now, I'm going to use this opportunity. Being a mom, and I have three boys, you know where marriage preparation starts? Tell me, Cy, where does it start?
In the cradle.
In the cradle. When they're 2 years old, you help them carry the trash outside. You make your kids make your bed. Greg, do you get up every morning and immediately make your bed? Do you pay your bills on time? You don't have to answer this online. But do you do the hard work?
I want to hear the answers, Greg.
No, you don't. No. Do you do the hard work of being a man before thinking about the hard work of being a husband? Because that's where you're going to get ahead of the game. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Thank you so much.
Self-discipline, baby.
Why do you all of a sudden sound like Jordan Peterson?
I don't know, but I'm getting all excited about this topic now.
Yeah.
Make your bed. Do the chores. Finish your homework. Do the hard thing.
Yeah. Marriage is not an escape from the work that you are assigned in this life. It's not an escape from it. It builds on it. And so you start it, you do that work.
Exactly. But the sad thing is, as parents in the last few decades, we've tried to avoid having our children have to do hard things and make it easy for them. So when they get into marriage, they're like, they don't know what to do.
But I have to say, Rose, and thank you, Greg, for the call. We chatted a little bit with Zach when he got back from his honeymoon here on the air. And one of the things we asked him about is if he had to do marriage prep. And he did not, and I really appreciated Zach's honesty on this, he did not turn his nose up at marriage prep. He said he was surprised at how helpful it was in getting them ready for marriage. Mm. And you know, Catholic marriage prep, just like everything else, is not perfect. And I'm sure some people have a positive experience, some people a negative. But being open to doing those, getting the help, you know, from people who've been through it, for example,
right.
I think that's a good thing.
And you know, back in the olden days when there weren't that therapists and everything, if families lived closer, you went to mom or dad or grandma or Uncle Bill, and
right.
they sat you down and they told you what for, and they gave you the tips, and you got your marriage counseling inside the trusted family members.
Right. And they also gave you the confidence that you can do it.
I
mean, I always think I have this incredible gift in my life that my parents, you know, stayed married, and now they're, I don't know, 65 years married or something. And that gives you a confidence. And I think a lot of young people are missing that confidence because they don't have those models of their grandparents did it, their parents did it, their aunts and uncles did it, and I can do it too.
Yeah. No, it's tough. I remember I saw two elderly women one time in a store, and a young pregnant lady walked by, and they said, well, she's going to have to learn the hard way. And I said to those total strange women, I go, well, you have a lot of wisdom to pass. Why don't you just share it with young people?
Uh-huh.
They're hungry for it. Nope, they got to do it on their own. And I was like, oh, I wanted to kill.
Yeah, because there's a lot of good-hearted young people who will listen and
yes.
do want to learn and do want that,
yes.
that wisdom. But
are we done
without
already?
Works, Marriage is dead.
It is.
You've got to do the work, Rose.
And you know what?
I don't know if you know this.
The work is worth it.
It is worth it. I'm glad that you said that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to communicate mm-hmm. that to young people mm-hmm. as well. It is worth it. And God has a beautiful plan for you. Even in very, very difficult marriages, God has a beautiful plan for you.
Yes, he does.
Jimmy Akin's coming up. We're going to do open forum next hour. Your call's welcome, 888-318-7884. Check out everything Rose does over at rosesuite.com.
Thank you, Si.
Rose, thank you. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll see you in a little bit.
Next time you come back, we're going to have you chat with some of our young Catholic answers, people who are either preparing marriage or recently married.
About the ridiculous amount of money they spend on weddings.